Thank you for tuning in to Aster Investment Management's podcast series. This week, our Chief Investment Officer, John Eckstein, and Senior Managing Director, Mac O'Brien, discuss the current economic outlook in the era of COVID-19. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Aster's Economic Week in Review. Like the past several weeks, we have John Eckstein, Aster's CIO. John, welcome.
Thanks, Mac. Nice to be here.
Sabila, thanks for the introduction. Tell us where this week ranks, John, in terms of your career analyzing this economic data. What's the magnitude of what's happening, the importance of economic data, et cetera?
Yeah, so you let me expand our definition of week to be the last 8 days and include last week claims number two, then this is the most important week of economic data I've ever seen in my career. When this period is over, I don't think we'll ever see another week. It's been absolutely stunning.
Tell people what that means in numbers-wise. Last week, we were on this podcast, John, and we had 3.2 million jobless claims, which was by far the biggest number that we've ever seen. And then this week, we're at 6.2 million. This week, there were several data points released. There's a couple manufacturing surveys, motor vehicle sales, jobless claims, the employment situation, and ISM non-manufacturing. Can you briefly run us through the two or three most surprising reports that came out and what you think this means for the overall economic health within the United States?
The most important number is definitely the claims number. And that's not always the number that you look at first because it can be erratic, but it's the only number that is completely contained within the period where the U.S. started to go at stay-at-home orders. For example, this week's jobless claims number is 6.6 million, 10 times higher than the previous peak, which was the 80s. So it's an order of magnitude bigger. Like the economy just hasn't come to a sudden stop, except for this time when it did. Claims number is the most important number, and that's what I'm watching the most because that is going to be the one that's up to date.
The listeners that know this process, we talk about all the different data points, typically JOLTS, PPI, consumer sentiment, those are coming out next week. And John's message for the past 2 weeks has been those data points, although still very important in the type of data, the time frame, you know, on a monthly report, we're still not really looking at current information, right? So if we're looking at JOLTS or a manufacturing survey, it kind of takes in only a week or two of data, not the most recent 2 weeks. So we are going to be skimming over some reports, focusing more on the data that includes the most recent data set, because that's the most drastic information, the most telling impact on the economy. So jobless claims, John, what else have you seen that just made your jaw drop?
The claims number is the most important. That feeds through into a certain extent into the payroll report we got today, which was very weak. That shows that companies had already stopped hiring to a certain extent even before all the stay-at-home orders were in place. So when the next payroll report comes out, that'll be interesting, but that's not for a month. The higher frequency stuff would be things like consumer sentiment surveys, some of them which come out weekly, and those have been holding up okay, all things considered. And we even have a sort of consolidated reading on the consumer sentiment numbers where we consolidated a bunch of them into one number on our website. If you look at the consumer sentiment index in our charts, those have been holding up okay. And then I'll be looking next, aside from the claims orders that come out each week, there's a different purchasing manager survey. We usually talk about the ISM manufacturing survey. There's another one by a firm called Market. Those come out a little bit a week earlier than the ISM numbers. We'll be watching those as they come out sort of towards the middle of April. But as far as hard data, it's just claims for now, unless we get other data elsewhere. We're looking at putting together some weekly data series, you know, how much gasoline demand is and some other stuff like that. And maybe we can consolidate that into a new series and we would try to share that with people. As far as the traditional stuff that, you know, you and I would talk about most weeks, it's going to be a few months before that's interesting again.
So, John, we're looking at 10 million people over the past 2 weeks filing for unemployment. And we talked about it in previous podcast series, but there are so many states that are so backlogged. Like my wife's a photographer and her business has been put on complete pause throughout this. So I was just looking at the options that she had and I could not get through yesterday. The online registration for unemployment was offline. You call, you're on hold for 30 minutes. We're talking about 10 million people over the past 2 weeks and we're talking about what? 3-4 million next week, potentially. When we talked about this last week, looking at this almost like a hurricane or natural disaster where people get laid off, they lose their job, but then it pops back right away. What type of indicators or what type of reports or anything that can you look at, you know, with your experience with this data to say these jobs are coming back fast or these jobs may not come back as fast and maybe not all of them? Or is it truly just on the stimulus package and how that works its way in the system? I mean, where do you go from here from an employment standpoint?
So one thing I can't remember who said this last week or the week before, but we're trying to figure out now, you're right. So we lost 10 million jobs in 2 weeks. 10 million people got laid off in the last 2 weeks. That total global financial crisis was about 25 million jobs lost over that whole period. So is this a recession, which is going to be especially bad? Is it going to be especially deep, a Great Depression type number? Or is it just especially compact? What if we lose 25 million jobs just like we did in the global financial crisis, but we do it in a month and then they start coming back? That's what we don't know. You know, everybody who was worried about the budget deficit 2 months ago is now, you know, writing big checks. You know, this is something that we can't get through as individuals. I don't think we can get through it as states either, right? I think only the federal government really has the balance sheet and the ability to smooth the spending and try and keep people attached to their jobs.
We'll kind of keep this, I'm going to put you on the spot here to kind of wrap up. We talked about it last week briefly, and you know, I know you've been not 24/7, but constantly researching the data and looking at it in different ways. I've said, and if we successfully flatten this curve, as we've all seen the chart, and we do our job at letting the healthcare system stay above this, essentially what we're doing is we're keeping the slowdown of the economy for longer. Your opinion, is the economic hangover caused by the coronavirus? Do you think it's more than what the market's factoring in? Or do you think it's less or spot on? I mean, what are your thoughts and the real impact over the next 12 to 24 to 36 months?
Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows because nobody knows how the economy is going to evolve. I can say from my experience watching markets, I am quite convinced the market's going to have another big scare where it certainly interprets data as being negative, whether it's health data or economic data. You know, whether 100% of jobs are coming back, whether businesses that were close to closing get closed. But, you know, on the other hand, maybe it gets closed and it's a good thing because it frees up, you know, resources for new businesses to start in the same spaces. Like, it's hard to say. And it's hard to say both the direction and the time frame. I'm going to be watching, first of all, I'm going to be watching claims, and I'll be watching PMI numbers, and then looking for harder weekly data that we can look at and keeping a close eye on the consumer sentiment numbers as well. Because if everybody decides to start spending 10%, like, there's a whole nother recession right there, right? If everybody just increases their savings because they're scared. So there's a lot to watch, and hopefully the federal government can step in and support the economy in this time. If we spend, right, so we spend $2-3 trillion already, we spend another $2 trillion, then we have to raise taxes over the next 3 years to make up for that, right? And so we're borrowing from the future. So we kind of scratch a zero out of 2020 at the expense of having 1% growth in 2021, 2022, 2023.
Wow.
And I think the important thing here is that that's why we have a process, that we want to watch the data, wait for the data to show us which way to go, even if that means we're 2 weeks late in the first move, that we're going to catch the big directions of the move correctly.
Interesting data, interesting period in the markets. Next week, I think, will be...
I'm looking forward to being boring.
Too interesting. PMI, jobless claims, consumer sentiment. Listeners, please come back next week. I think that we're going to have, you know, the longer we are removed from the beginning of the shutdown, the more data comes in that tells us the effect the shutdown is having on the economy. I think week by week, we'll be getting even more interesting data. Next week, I think we'll plan on having maybe a 20 or 30 minute podcast to really dig into the intricacies of the underlying data, how these reports are constructed, and drill down for our listeners why and the type of effects things are having or the shutdown's having on the economy. But for now, everyone have a great weekend. Jeff, thanks for joining us again. I know you're in a 6-hour investment committee meeting today. And so thanks for freeing up a little bit of brain power and joining us here late on a Friday afternoon. And if you have any questions, please email info@asterim.com. John referenced some charts earlier in the podcast. You can go to asterim.com/charts. And you can see all the charts, whether it's a stress index, consumer sentiment, our own proprietary Aster Economic Index. Thank you for listening. John, stay safe this weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mac. Wash your hands.
Yeah, you got it. See you guys.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you.
Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.